Continue this service now in a word of prayer tonight, okay? Let's continue this in a word of prayer. Father God, we come to you in the name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ, tonight. We give you the praise and the honor. We love you, Lord. And God, I just pray for these people tonight. They may have a hole and emptiness in their heart. God, you're the only one that can fill that void. No human relationship can. No drug, no chemical, no pleasure of this world. But only you, God, can fill that vacuum. And Holy Spirit, I just pray that you do your work tonight in the lives of these people, these precious people. Hearts that have been shattered, broken, God, I just pray that you bring them back together tonight. Father God, we love you. We thank you for the new breath, the new life that you gave us today. And most of all, we thank you for the gift of eternal life that you've given us by faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. We just want to say thank you tonight in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Well, guys, you know, I was doing this series over the last several weeks called Growing in God's Love. Growing in God's Love. And last week, we talked about a subject that I think is really essential for all of us to hear, which was on forgiving ourselves, or forgiving yourself. A lawyer came to Jesus in Matthew chapter 22, verse 36, and he said to Jesus, "Jesus, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said, replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." Love your neighbor as you what yourself? As you dislike yourself? No, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And a core element of love, friends, is forgiveness. You know, Paul the Apostle wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 13:5 that he says, love is patient and love is kind. And then in verse 5 he says, love holds no record of wrongs. Guys, you may have done some pretty bad things in the past. You may have done some pretty sinful things in your past. Maybe you said some things that were wrong, you did some things that were really bad, but you've got to release yourself of holding wrongs against yourself. In order to love yourself, you have got to forgive yourself of the wrongs you have committed in the past. Now, how do you forgive yourself? By releasing yourself in three different ways. You've got to release yourself, first and foremost, from dwelling on the past. From living in this prison of the past. Number two, you've got to release yourself from regret. How many here tonight have some regret? I would have, I could have, I should have. Had I pursued that job, I would have had a house. Had I pursued that person in a different way, I could have had that relationship. Had I done that, that would have happened. Regret, regret, regret. Guys, you've got to release yourself of regret. Forgive yourself. And finally, you've got to release yourself from beating up and punishing yourself. And how do you release yourself in these ways? By seeing yourself as God sees you according to His written word. You've got to get into the Word of God. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The words we hear influence our thoughts. Read these words, the words of God, the Scripture, and let these words influence your thoughts. And then your thoughts will influence and condition your actions toward yourself. What should your action toward yourself be as you read the Word of God? According to this subject, it should be in walking in a spirit of forgiveness toward your own self. You see, unless you can love yourself and forgive yourself, you cannot reach beyond yourself to love others. What did Jesus say was the second greatest commandment? Love your neighbor as you love yourself. If you can't forgive yourself, you know, if you don't think well of yourself because you're living in the past, if you don't see yourself in a positive light, you've got nothing to give to somebody else who is needier than you. So tonight, let's start forgiving ourselves of our of the sins that we've committed in the past. God has forgiven us. God has forgotten our past. And then we must forgive ourselves and see ourselves as God sees us. How does God see you? God sees you as highly valuable. He loves you so very much. Like I said, if you don't see yourself in a positive light because you're living in the past, you've got nothing to give to anybody else. But if you're overflowing with God's love, you can reach out to your neighbor. And you know what? All of us are obligated to reach out to those who are needier than ourselves. All of us are called to reach out beyond ourselves. Now, the question is this: who is your neighbor? Who is your neighbor? Is your neighbor the person sitting next to you tonight? Yes, right? Is your neighbor the person who lives next door to you? It is, right? Is your neighbor the person who lives across the street? It is, right? Is it the person who sleeps on a mat next to you? That is your neighbor, right? But Jesus illustrates who the neighbor is. Those are your neighbors. But Jesus says, I'm going to expand your concept of who the neighbor is. Let's look at Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. Luke 10, verses 25 through 37. This is the same story of the lawyer who came to Jesus in Matthew 22. And this lawyer says in verse 25, on one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied, how do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your strength and all of your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Apply the question to yourself tonight. Who is my neighbor? Is it only the person sitting next to me? Is it only the person that lives next to me? Yes, it is, but it includes more than that. Let's read this. In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Amazing. So this Jewish man fell into the hands of robbers. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by the other side. Could you imagine a priest, a religious person, who's supposed to be helping others, passes this man by? So too, a Levite, verse 32, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. Another religious person who was to help somebody in need, but he didn't. But a Samaritan, verse 33, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. And Jesus poses the big question. Verse 36. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers, Mr. Lawyer? Verse 37, the expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. Yes, your neighbor is the person sitting next to you. It's the person who lives next to you. Yes, it is the person across the street. But in this parable, Jesus expands the concept of who neighbor really is. Let me give you some historical background here. This person who was beaten was a Jew. And the person who helped him was a what?
Samaritan.
Now you've got to understand, historically, Jews and Samaritans had no interactions. The Samaritans were like part Gentile. And it goes back thousands of years. They were part Gentile. So the Jews looked down on them. There was racial tensions between the Jews and the Samaritans. They would have nothing to do with each other. Does that make sense tonight?
Yeah.
So there was racial animosity there between the Jews and the Samaritans. But the Samaritan was overflowing with God's love and the compassion of Jesus Christ. And thus he reached out beyond himself. A Samaritan normally would never reach out to a Jew because the Jew looked different, talked different, maybe dressed differently. But this Samaritan reached out beyond himself to someone who was different. What is Jesus trying to say in this parable? He's saying that your neighbor is not only the person that looks like you, or dresses like you, or thinks like you, or talks like you, but your neighbor includes those people who are different than you. And you're obligated, if you could, to reach out beyond yourself and bandage that person's wounds. Whatever kind of wound that could be. It could be financial wounds, it could be physical wounds, whatever it is, emotional wounds. The question tonight is this: can you reach out to someone who is different than you? Like the Samaritan reached out to a Jew who was different than him. Can you reach out to somebody who looks different than you?
Yes.
Whose skin color is different than you? Who talks differently than you? Who dresses differently than you? We are obligated as followers of Jesus Christ to reach out beyond ourselves to those who are different than us, as well as those who are like us. And then Jesus says this in verse 36. He says, "Who was the neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" And the lawyer said, "The one who had mercy on him." So Jesus now expands the concept of neighbor even greater than to one who just looks different than you. He says, basically, your neighbor is anybody who is in need of your mercy and help. Your neighbor is, yes, somebody who looks different than you. Reach out to them. But it also includes more than that. It includes anybody on the face of this earth where you happen to be who is in greater need than you, that you should reach out beyond yourself and minister to them. The neighbor is anybody in need of our help. You agree with that tonight? You agree with that tonight? So the point is this. If you happen to be visiting China, or you happen to be in India, or in Asia, or in Europe, or in Africa, and you see somebody there walking by you who is in greater need than yourself, who is that person, even though you live in the United States? That person is your neighbor, even though you may be living in Tulsa, Oklahoma. You getting the point here tonight? You may have $20 in your hand, and this person in Africa may be begging for 50 cents to feed his family. What are you obligated to do as that person's neighbor? Give him the 50 cents so he can feed his family. But you know, you can only start reaching out beyond yourself and loving others when you feel good about yourself. When you see yourself in a positive light, when you can start loving and forgiving yourself. You agree with that tonight?
Yes.
All right. You know, nobody, from the richest Christian to the poorest Christian, nobody is exempt, is freed from the obligation to reach out and to love his neighbor, the person who is in need. Nobody is freed from that responsibility. Guess what? When you help your neighbor, the person in need, whether it be in Tulsa, Oklahoma, or in India, you're helping Jesus Himself. Look at Matthew 25. Let's look at Matthew 25. And you guys have probably heard this parable or this passage, but it bears repeating. Matthew 25, the sheep and the goats, verses 31 through 46. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Verse 33. He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer Him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" And here's the climax. Jesus says, the King will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me." You know, that person who is needier than you is Jesus in disguise. That person who needs 50 cents, you may have 20 bucks in your pocket, is begging you for 50 cents for something to drink, is Jesus in disguise. Will you pass that person by like the Levite and the priest in Luke chapter 10? Or will you be the Good Samaritan and reach out to somebody who is different than you? Look at the next verse. Then, in verse 41, "Then He will say to those on His left, 'Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me.' They also will answer, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or needing clothes, or sick or in prison, and did not help you?'" Verse 45, "He will reply, 'I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me.' Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." It's amazing. It's amazing. That hungry person out there that is hungrier than you is Jesus in disguise. That person out there who is thirstier than you is Jesus in disguise. That person in prison, that person in the hospital is Jesus in disguise. Will you be the hands and the feet of Jesus to someone who is in greater need than yourself? And guys, I understand and I realize that you're in great need. You're here at the Salvation Army. You may not make a lot of money. You don't have an apartment. You don't have a house. You may not have a vehicle. But there is somebody out there that is in greater need than you. And you can reach out to them being the hands and the feet of Jesus. Now, when we reach out to our neighbor, somebody who is needier than us, why is it that we're doing it for Jesus Himself? Have you ever thought about that? Jesus said it, "For as much as you've done it to the least of these brothers of mine," He said, "you've done it for me." Why? Why is it that when I touch you with the love of Christ, I'm touching Jesus? Think about that. Think about that for just a second. Because everyone is created in the image of God, in the likeness of God. Genesis 1, 26 and 27, right? Part of God is on the inside of everybody on the face of this earth. When you touch somebody in need, you are touching God Himself. You're touching Jesus Himself. Does that make sense? Let me ask you this. Let's say there's a loved one you have, maybe a son, maybe a daughter, and there's a great separation between you and this child that you love. You've got nothing to give this child. This child is starving. And somebody passes by with a bag of groceries, with a bag of like lunches. And your little child is crying out to this person, please give me something to eat. I'm starved. I'm hungry. And that person just passes by. How does it make you feel on the inside? It makes you feel crushed. Because part of you is on the inside of that child. But let's say that person stops and feeds your child. On the inside, you're overjoyed, right? Because when they do it for your child, it's like they're doing it for you. Your blood runs through that child. It's the same way with God, guys. In a spiritual sense, we are flesh of God's flesh and bone of His bones. When we reach out to somebody needier than us, we're reaching out to God, and God's heart is overjoyed. But when we ignore that person, it breaks the heart of God. I know you're needy tonight. I've got needs. You've got needs. We've all got needs. But that does not free us from the obligation to reach out to somebody in even greater need than us. We're obligated to do it, to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Let's look at 1 Kings 17 for just a moment. 1 Kings 17, verses 7 through 16. The widow of Zarephath. The widow of Zarephath. Just a few more minutes here. God was giving Elijah the prophet water by the Kereth Ravine, and the birds were bringing him his meals. And in verse 7 of 1 Kings 17, it says, sometime later the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and say there, I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so that I may have a drink? As she was going to get it, he called, and please bring me a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said, but first make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Verse 14, the jar of flour will not be used up and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land. So she went away and did it as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and for her family. For the jar of flour was not used up and the jug of oil did not run dry in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. You may feel like the widow tonight, like you're at your wit's end. You're beyond yourself. You're in great need. You feel like you're about to die. How can I reach out beyond myself? You see, the widow was in need. But she had something, right? She had some flour and some oil. Elijah, the prophet, was even in greater need. Do you agree? Why? He had nothing physically in his hands. Right? She was in need. She had a little bit of flour, a little bit of oil. Elijah was needier. And tonight you may feel like the widow woman. You just have a little bit in your hands. Just a few dollars. Just a little bit of flour. Just a little bit of oil. But there's somebody out there tonight. It could be an Elijah who is needier than you. When she reached out to Elijah and made him some bread, guess what? God then reached out to her in even a much greater way. There was food every day for the woman, her son, and Elijah. She took the little she had and reached out to Elijah. And then God said, I'm going to reach out to you and provide for you many, 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 many times what you've done for Elijah.
God is good.
You may feel like the widow, that you're in great need, but there's someone out there needier than you tonight. What's the point here? Now listen to this. When you take care of God's business, loving people, loving your neighbor, God will take care of your business and bring you into a bigger place in your life. Let me say that again. When you take care of God's business in loving people, God will take care of your business. He will take you from the pits to the palace of His blessings for your life. But reach out. It's the principle of sowing and reaping. Look at 1 John 3, verses 16 through 18. 1 John 3, verses 16 through 18. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. In other words, talk is cheap. Do something about it. Don't just say that you want to help somebody who's in need. If somebody passes you by like that beaten Jew in Luke chapter 10, then reach out your hand to help that person. Talk is cheap. Actions speak louder than words. Actions speak louder than words. You might be thinking tonight, well, how can I reach out to somebody who is less fortunate than me? Servant evangelism. Evangelism. We're all called to share the love of Jesus Christ with the lost. And one of the ways you can share the love of Jesus Christ with someone who is lost is by giving that lost person a helping hand. Let me read you a story tonight. In closing here. It's called Bruised Apples. Bruised Apples. Listen to this. A few years ago, a group of salesmen went to a regional sales convention in Chicago. They had assured their wives that they would be home in plenty of time for Friday night's dinner. Well, as such things go, one thing led to another. The sales meeting lasted longer than anticipated. Their flights were scheduled to leave out of Chicago O'Hare Airport, and they had to race pell-mell to the airport. With tickets in hand, they barged through the terminal to catch their flight back home. In their rush, with tickets and briefcases, one of the salesmen inadvertently kicked over a table which held a display of baskets of apples. Apples flew everywhere! Without stopping or looking back, they all managed to reach the plane in time for their nearly missed boarding. All but one. He paused, took a deep breath, and experienced a twinge of compassion for the girl whose apple stand had been overturned. He told his buddies to go on without him and told one of them to call his wife when they arrived at their home destination and explain his taking a later flight. Then he returned to the terminal where the apples were all over the floor. He was glad he did. The 16-year-old girl at the apple stand was totally blind. She was softly crying, tears running down her cheeks in frustration, and at the same time, helplessly groping for her spilled produce as the crowd swirled about her, no one stopping or to take care of her plight. The salesman knelt on the floor with her, gathered up the apples, put them into the baskets, and helped set the display up once more. As he did this, he noticed that many of them had become battered and bruised. These he set aside in another basket. When he had finished, he pulled out his wallet and said to the girl, "Here, please take this $20 bill for the damage we did. Are you okay?" She nodded through her tears. He continued on with, "I hope we didn't spoil your day too badly." As the salesman started to walk away, the bewildered girl called out to him, "Mister!" He paused and looked back into those blind eyes. She continued, "Are you Jesus?" He stopped in mid-stride and he wondered. Then slowly he made his way to catch the later flight with that question burning and bouncing about in his soul. Are you Jesus? Do people mistake you for Jesus? That's our destiny, isn't it? To be so much like Jesus that people cannot tell the difference as we live and interact with a world that is blind to his love, life, and grace. If we claim to know him, we should live, walk, and act as he would. Knowing him is more than simply quoting scripture and going to church. It's actually living the word as life unfolds day to day. How could you reach out to somebody needier than yourself? By being a servant. Will those lost people mistake you for Jesus? Will you be the hands and the feet of Jesus to your neighbor, to the person in need? You take care of God's business, which is people, needier than yourself, and I guarantee you God will take care of your business. Another way you can reach out is by friendship evangelism. Being a friend to a lonely person. All of us here experience loneliness, right? You agree? We all do, right? God, let me tell you something. There is somebody out there that is much lonelier than you. All they need is a kind smile, a kind word, a God loves you. Can I spend some time with you and talk with you? Can I encourage you? Befriending people. Becoming a friend to the friendless. Another way you can do it is by prayer evangelism. Standing in the gap in prayer for someone who is in greater need than yourself. How many here have a family member that's in need? You know, that family member is also your neighbor because they're in need. Maybe you have a friend that's in need. You can stand in the gap in prayer for that person. You can reach out in prayer. All of us can do it, guys. None of us is freed from the obligation, from the second greatest commandment, to love our neighbor, the person in need, as we love ourselves. But it all starts with loving God, forgiving ourselves, and then stepping out beyond ourselves to reach out with God's love to somebody who is in all kinds of problems, facing a trial, a tribulation, a need. Does that make sense?
Yes.
God loves you so very much. I'd encourage you this week to start sowing seeds of service, to start sowing seeds of reaching out to others. Because whatever a man sows, the Bible says, that also shall he reap. You sow tomato seeds, you're going to get tomato plants. You sow cucumber seeds, you're going to get cucumber plants. You sow seeds of forgiveness, you'll receive forgiveness. You sow seeds of reaching out to others needier than yourself. When you're in great need, somebody will reach out to you. God himself will reach out to you. Like the widow and Elijah. She reached out to Elijah, and then God reached out to her in a great way. You reach out to somebody, I guarantee you, and God will reach out to you like never before. Amen? God loves you guys so very much. How many here tonight are going to make that commitment to love your neighbor, to reach out to that person who's going through a trial, a tribulation, a problem, a test? Everybody here tonight? Because when you do it for them, you're doing it for Jesus himself. That person in need is Jesus in disguise. Plain and simple.